Perhaps one of the most famous psukim in Parshas Kedoshim is the pasuk, "You shall not take revenge, you shall not bear a grudge against the members of your people, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, you shall love your fellow as yourself, I am Hashem." And we know Rabbi Akiva says on this that this is a klal gadol b'Torah, a fundamental principle of the Torah. First question is, what does that mean? It's a fundamental principle of Torah. In what way is "V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha" the all-encompassing, quintessential pasuk? The second question, which is also a very obvious question, is source number two. He says, "Ki ech tetzaveh Torah davar shu neged hateva, ve'ech yechol adam l'kayama." How is it possible, "V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha," to love your fellow as yourself? Is it possible for anybody to love somebody else like themselves? It seems very hard to understand that. And further, as the Yosefus Marachos knows from source 3, is there an inyan of loving yourself? Like, don't we focus that, the focus on self-love and self-indulgence is something negative, so you should love your friend like you love yourself? Well, self-love so good? So we need to understand that aspect. And finally, as Mirosh Tzurim notes, "Haketzan nitan l'tzavot rikshot shebalei." How can you command somebody feelings of the heart you should love? What do you think? You press a button and you love somebody, right? Love takes a long time. It takes so a while to be able to generate such feelings. So how are we commanded that you should love everybody? Like, love is a very intense emotion. So obviously, all of these questions have many, many multiple responses. We're going to try to take a look at some insights to be able to see how we can relate to these ideas practically in Mirtz Hashem for our lives. As an overview, we know that the many of the mitzvot, source number 5, in the Torah derive from the principle, the surim of stealing, adultery, swindling, hurting with words, hate, revenge, bearing grudge, and many others. Why is "V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha" such a major focus? Why is it a klal gadol b'Torah? Because so many of the mitzvot of the Torah come off of this mitzvah. In order to carry out the mitzvah properly, it's not enough to consider how you, with your weaknesses and strength, would feel under the circumstances. For example, you may be particularly thick-skinned and truly do not mind when others kid about your fault. That doesn't give you a license to joke about other people. And we know the Rambam explains that the mitzvah of "Ahavta l'reacha kamocha" in source 9 is an obligation to love every Jew as you love yourself. In practice, this means that we should be concerned for his personal welfare and the safety of his possessions as we are concerned for ourselves. And we know that this obligation applies to men, women, rich and poor, in all places at all time, and children are encouraged within the family circle to be able to work on this particular mitzvah. Let's try to work on first and foremost the understanding of that klal gadol b'Torah, then we'll look at kamocha, and then finally the idea of ahava, the idea of love. Rav Schlesinger in Eila HaDvarim posits something very fascinating. He says, we know originally in source number 11, Hashem created the world, wanted to create the world with midas hadin, with strict justice. And then he saw that, you know, the world isn't going to be able to survive in strict justice, and therefore he added, shiteif, he added the midah of chesed and rachamim. What is the idea of chesed and rachamim? What is this concept of kindness and mercy? So he explains the following. It's a very interesting understanding. He says in the bracket in source 11, shekol abriya musheter al shituf ben shnei gormim, v'ief shar ligorem echad shiyeh mushlam levado. Chesed and rachamim is about that nothing exists on its own. You need to have a giver and a taker. You need to have some type of relationship in order to be able to succeed in this world. When Hashem created the world in Midas HaRachamim, He says that what the world is about is that nobody can exist on their own, right? There's no Robinson Crusoe on some type of island. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have easily made it that man could be able to procreate on his own. Why is it necessary to have a man and a woman? Why is it necessary to have this duality? Because lo tov ayod adam levado, eser lo eser konekto. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good that a person should just be dealing only with himself. And indeed, that is how he explains in this squiggly, Mitzvah Sabriya Tzura Shel Chesed, Shekol Achad Noten L'Zulato Mekabel L'Zulato. If you take a look at the creation and the symbiotic relationship in the natural world, you clearly see the give and take. Whether it's the moon reflecting from the sun and the stars and the celestial beings all giving one from another, whether it is the oxygen that's released from the plants, from people, the carbon dioxide, I didn't do so well in biology in ninth grade, fill in the blanks, right? And then it goes to the trees, and then we all are benefiting one from another. If you really take a look at the entire world, we know that the world is about whether we realize it or not. We don't realize, you know, carbon dioxide and oxygen are coming and going. But this is what the world is about, photosynthesis, light, sun, air. It's all about a give and a take. The whole world is about that. And Luyu Tsuyar, if we could even imagine a world that's just about giving or just about taking, the world would not exist. You need to have that beautiful balance of giving and taking. If that's true in the world, in the natural way, it's even more true within people. Even when we're not focused in on this, the whole world is about giving and taking. This is what, well, the business is about. A tailor needs bread. So what does a tailor do? He sews more clothing in order to make more money, in order to be able to buy the bread. The baker needs to have clothes, so he sells more bread in order to be able to buy the clothes from the tailor. Our whole lives are about giving and taking. Our whole lives is that we need each and everyone in this world. We can't exist on our own, right? I need people to make the food for me. I need people to make the clothes for me. And I need people to, and I need to give to people as well, and they need things from me. And that's what the whole give and take of society is about. And he says, we are created with this in mind, the giving, the taking. Sometimes people are giving and taking, and sometimes the opposite. And he says that this is really also, you see, like in electricity, where you have the positive and the negative, and it has to fit in with the opposite side in the right way. If you put things in the wrong way, again, 10th grade chemistry wasn't much better than 9th grade biology, then you can have an explosion or it won't work, right? And that's relationships that are arayos, that are the immoral relationships, which is also found at the end of Parshas Kedoshim, who you're not supposed to marry. Why aren't you supposed to marry these people? Because it's not a symbiotic relationship. It's not going to be a give-and-take relationship in a normal and healthy way as the Torah clearly lays out. And that's why, you know, you say, what's wrong with, you know, homosexuality, which is so prevalent today? And the answer is, it's something that the Torah understands. It's not in the balanced type of relationship, that of the give and take, which is way Kodesh Baruch Hu envisioned the world. With this in mind, we understand, my friends, why the Haftarecha Kamoch is a Klal Gadol b'Torah in the Arrow 13. Ki ha-basis l'chol ha-briyah, it is the basis of all creation. Hu ha-basis l'kiyum ha-chayim alei tamot, this is what it's about. When I love somebody like myself, it means that I recognize that I am not here as solo in this world. That I recognize that I have a need for somebody else. I have a need to give to somebody else. I have a need to take from somebody else. That's what the whole world is about. That you can't go around thinking that the world revolves around you and there's nothing aside from you. You know, I say to my students, one of the things that I personally believe that should be emphasized when Mirz Hashem, they raise their children, is this idea of always recognizing that there are people in need around you and being aware of this, being cognizant of this. And it starts at a young age. When your three-year-old has to go to, you know, kindergarten, God, nursery, and the teacher says, bring a smock. So teach your children, you know what? You pack them up two smocks, and you say to your little Sarla, Sarla, I'm giving you two smocks, and I want you to look around. If somebody perhaps forgot a smock, so you'll give them another smock. This is the way to teach them from a young age that the world isn't just about me, it's about giving. And it's about giving in a healthy way. It's about taking in a healthy way. And to be able to take is also it's also godless, right? People are, you know, embarrassed to take or ashamed to take, whatever it is. To be able to say that sometimes I need to take and sometimes I give, that's what a healthy relationship is about. So if a person is lo aleinu sick or a sick member of the family, and to be the recipient of food, the recipient of other people's needs, of course it's uncomfortable. However, you understand that by receiving, you are giving. You are giving them the opportunity to be able, by taking, you're giving them the opportunity to be able to give to you. And that's the whole yesod. And he goes on to say, he says, this is true of rich and poor. Poor people obviously need rich people, but rich people also need advice from poor people. And they perhaps need other things from them. And he describes here, he says, it's not only lo aleinu in challenging situations that we need other people, the squiggly in 13, and this is so important, ulam gam b'matzavei simcha, adam nitzrach l'acherim shiitzatfu b'simchato. It's not just about lo aleinu in challenging times, you know, somebody's sick or some challenge or tragedy, you need people to come to your aid. Also in times of joy, you want people to rejoice with you. It's important to go to simchas, it's important to go to weddings, it's important to go to beautiful occasions, because this is what also part of life is about. It's about enjoying with other people as well. And I remember when my mother Leshlam was sick, we were in for Pesach, for Sukkot, and 2 weeks after Sukkot, she was being honored for quote-unquote retiring, and she was only 61, she was young, yeah, and so we had the question, we were living in L.A., do we fly back, right, we couldn't stay because I worked for those 2 weeks, but do we fly back for this retirement to Balava Malko or not? We figured it out, it would cost us $1 a minute. Now that's, and we're not going for that long. We're going for a weekend, so you can imagine how much it was. And we're back and forth, do we go or not? And I remember somebody saying to me, if lo aleinu, it was a, you know, you had to go for an emergency, would you think twice about spending the money? I said, no. So they said to me, if you're not going to think twice about spending the money if it's a tragedy and something sad, you shouldn't think twice about spending the money for something happy and for a simcha. And that was it. I was convinced. We flew. And in the end, that was the last time I saw my mother alive. So, you know, how I would have kicked myself. Ugh, you know, because over the 20 years now since it's been, you know, that money has long since come and gone. It's not about the money. It's about, we have to understand sometimes that simcha is also important to celebrate. It's not just in challenging times. And sometimes we say, oh, you know, will it really make a difference if I come to that wedding or not? There's so many people there. And the answer is, it makes a difference. Every single person who's there adds to the simcha. This idea about giving and taking, this idea about looking over our shoulder and understanding that this is what the world is about, it's about really being able to give to another person, it's not just about me, is what Rabbi Yerucham speaks about in Das Torah, source 14. He says, Ikar ikarim l'adam hu shelo yichyeh chayim shutim. The key in life, and this is such a Musar idea, mir, is that you shouldn't live simple life. And when you live with the idea of the rechov, with the street, when you live with, not with the idea of the street, means when you live influenced by the society around us, when you live by the mores of the, particularly when the secular society enters into and infiltrates into our mindset, then you live a very simple life. And he gives us an example. He says, "Im yishalu otanu ma'inyan she'enenu hochim ruchavot l'chapes ani le'tivimo." How come we don't go down the street looking for a person to help them out? Whether it's a poor person, whether it's a person in need, whether a person needs a ride, whether a person, whatever it is, who, you know, is looking down and I want to give them advice. And ani here doesn't necessarily have to be just a poor person. It means somebody in need. So most people answer, you want me to go around looking for people in need? That's a Rebbetzin Kanyevsky. That's an opera of Inu. I mean, those were tzaddikim. You got the wrong person, right? I'm just a simple person. He says, and you've been in Futz. Shezavtani Hashemesh. The sun has burnt you. It has clouded your vision. You don't understand what life is about if that's what you say. And its famous line is, there's no difference between Gan Eden and Gehenim. El Kichuda Saira Bilvan. A small line. It's the difference between, do you understand that there are people out there who need and who are in such dire need of our kind word, of our help? Do we go out and look for these people? And he says, if we don't, it's not just a question of, okay, I'm not a tzaddikus, I don't go out looking for these people. The effect is so much deeper, he says, because then when the person does come knocking on your door, when the poor person is going to come asking for contribution, or the friend is going to, or this neighbor is going to come over and spill for next hour, you know, not the coffee, spilling their guts over, oh, this is going wrong and that's going wrong, and you keep on looking at your clock like, oh my, how much longer is this going to be? Like, what excuse can I make up? So then there's no difference between Gan Eden and Gehenna. You've fallen. You don't realize that we're here to be givers and not only takers. Then you're right. We all have time and we all have to have boundaries, no doubt about it. But we're talking about mindset. We're talking about when the Ani knocks on our door, when the person knocks on our door, is our feeling emotionally, honestly, is our gut reaction, oh no, not them again? Or is our feeling, wow, what an opportunity, I have to help them. Wow, they're really in need. You know, and it's something we have to train ourselves. I'll tell you honestly, there's somebody who comes to our door. He's been coming to our door, I don't know for how many years, with the same letter, with the same son, who needs a heart operation. And I know him, same letter, same. I don't know if it's the same child. I don't know if it's a real story. You know what, my friend? If he's coming year after year with the same letter, with the same heart, you have to have a heart that his heart is broken. And he's using a story that will, you know, elicit something from me. Instead of the reaction, which is a normal reaction, oh no, him again, same story? Like, can't you make up a new story? Stop. Recognize this person's in need. If I'm unable to do so then I have been caught by the societal pressure of, I can't just go out and get a job. What? Ooh, I'm supposed to be able to support the whole world? Whatever we think, whatever goes through your mind. Again, the boundaries, I know what you're thinking. I know all of what you're thinking. I know I don't know what you're thinking. That's being arrogant. One can imagine what you're thinking, or part of what you're thinking. Having said that, my friends, we have an obligation. We have an obligation of Olam Chesed Yibane. The world is predicated on Chesed. Hashem created the world using Midas HaRachamim, which is about give and take. And that we have to be able to recognize that is the essential aspect of what our lives are all about. Okay, my friends, we understood on some level the first idea. Why is this a klal gadol b'Torah? Because that's the way the whole creation has been formulated, is about give and take, and therefore we need to be able to fit into that system to create this symbiotic balance in this world. And at times being givers, at times being takers, and understand that that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned this world. Let's take a look at our next question. Kamocha. And then we'll see that there's really one whole picture that we're Mirzachem trying to build. So, again, how can you love a person like yourself? So let's offer two Hasidic answers before we begin on our approach. A new sefer, Idit Shebidit, it's like the cherry on the cake, the best of the best, which brings beautiful Hasidic ideas, in Source 17, where he says, one way of looking at this, and this is from Likutei Klei Chemda, is that when I take a look at, I should love my friend like myself. So let me take a look at myself for a moment. If I take a look at my physical body, do I really love every part of my body the same way? Like, is my little toe the same value to me? Do I you know, appreciate it as much as I appreciate my eyes or my heart or my kidneys? No. I mean, I appreciate all parts of my body, don't get me wrong. But obviously there is a continuum of things that are, like, really essential. You know, your left nail on your left pinky is not as essential as your eye, right? If you have, you know, dry eyes and you can't see, or teary eyes, like, you feel it much more than that left pinky nail. He says, just like there is different parts of you that you love more than others, so too, there are people that you're going to love more than others. Okay, that's one approach. The second approach, which I like a lot, from the Divrei Eish in 18, he says, "Inei derech ha'olam hu lahov shechavero yeh bal tzedako machnis orchim shechavero yeh vatran v'lo yeh bal chema v'kadoma." I'd love if my friend was going to be, and there's a whole list. I would love if my friend was going to be slow to anger. I'd love if my friend was going to be very magnanimous. I'd love if my friend would be always smiling. I would love all of these things. We have a whole long list of what we'd love our friends to be. Whatever you would love your friend to be, v'ahavta l'reacha, whatever the love you have l'reacha for your friend, that your friend should be A, B, C, and D, kamocha. Make sure you do it first for yourself. You should be magnanimous. You should smile at everybody. You should give large amount of tzedakah. So v'ahavta recha, kamocha. That's a different shot. That when I love my friend, what I would love for my friend to be, kamocha, that tishtadel shiyu gam etzlecha. You should work on it. Kafishin chavrot tzlecha chavrcha yiyeh. You should be as you would want your friend to be. We know the classic understanding of kamocha is found in the Ramban, which is source 16. Rather, you should always want in his heart the asterisk that he shall be superior to his fellow in all that is good. And so the verse here commands that this defect of jealousy should not be present in one's heart. Rather, one shall love the increase of goodness for his fellow as a person strives to obtain for himself, and he shall not place limits on that love. Just as you would like good things happening to you, kamocha, likewise you should want good things to happen to your friend as well, without feeling any pangs of jealousy. The approach I would like to work on for kamocha is an approach that's based on the Rav Shimon Shkop, Lutit Chal Yom quotes in Shara Yosher, and he says the following. HaTorah 19 asterisk Madgisha, the Torah emphasizes, Shall Adam lehov et chavero kamoto. You should love your friend, and friend like oneself. Hainu, which means, Shitchila l'adam l'adad. First and foremost, a person has to know, lehov, to love, v'larich et atzmo, and to appreciate oneself. Umikoach hakamocha, hu yakil avat l'ato. And once one loves oneself, then one has the ability to love another. Zeklau gadol b'Torah. This is why it's such a fundamental principle. Because as long as a person doesn't know themselves, and they don't know to come to appreciate their personality, that they are, and they're considered to be an only child to God, there'd be no way that he could love his friend like him. Only when you recognize the love of self, not obviously a physical love, but a spiritual love, our uniqueness, our specialness, then you can be able to come to love others as well, to see their uniqueness, their specialness, that they're also a ben yachid, they're also like an only child to God. Let's try to understand this answer and develop it. Rav Goldwicht said, source 21, note, so we're talking about kavod, honor, looking at oneself. So he said, obviously, you know, Chazal tell us about Odmod Heveshal Ruach, you should be very humble of spirit, and that kavod, honor, seems to be the antithesis of what Chazal want from us. He said, that's true if you're talking about kavod chitzoni, external honor, where you want everyone to stand up when you walk in the room, and you want your name to be first on the list, etc., etc., all of that external aspects of honor, that's what is not healthy. But he says, Aval Yeshlav Chin in the squiggly ben Tavat Hadrisha l'Kavod Chitzoni. We have to make a distinction from this outer honor. Luvain Tchushat HaKavod Hatzmi Pnimi Shemekoran Natua B'Tzelem Molkim HaTavu Abano. To the intrinsic honor within a person that is the way Hashem wired us. That we are special. That we are unique. L'Shamesh B'Kunat Tafkid V'Olam. That I have a job to do in this world that nobody else can do. The Chidud 22 Akelim Yisyamim Sheniku Lo Levado Zobet Mikar Tafkido Shal Dam Alei Helech. And this is why I'm on this earth. I'm on this earth because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wired me and gave me that which is unique for me in order to be able to do what I need to do. And this feeling, v'usharish hagashir nechmadut abdimir atarim b'tchushat ha'adam, is a healthy feeling, we call it self-esteem. It's a healthy feeling that I am unique, I am special, and that feeling of kavod is healthy and is good. And he says, anyone who tries to downplay that feeling is doing a disservice to themselves, and they're going to become a nasesh shever kli, they're going to become a broken vessel, because you have to have that feeling of sense of self, of sense of worth, in order to be able to accomplish anything. Imagine if everyone would feel like, oh, I can't do this, like, you would get nowhere. Like, I know personally, if every time I would stand up to speak in front of an audience, and I would say to myself, who am I to speak, and I don't know how to talk, and I don't know how to convey an idea, and I have to teach, and I would be falling apart. A, I'm not sure I'd be able to get up to speak, and B, if I get up, the nervousness and the anxiety would come over so, you know, strongly that people would be like, oh, I can't listen to this person, like, they don't have any passion, they don't have any self-worth. You have to be able to, you have to know your limitations, you have to know where to improve, for sure, no doubt about it. At the same time, you also have to know what your strengths are and be able to get up and do that. I know people say to me, are you nervous talking in front of a lot of people? And I say to them, should I be nervous? Like, if I should be nervous, I'll be nervous. But if I'm not supposed to be nervous, then I'm not nervous. Because this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wired me to be able to be who I am. And we'll add here parentheses. I don't know why I'm sharing this. I usually only share this in a personal audience, but I'll share this anyway. When we were kids, I'm one of three, Kanainahara, that we used to live in an attic my parents refurbished it so that we'd have our own space. And as kids, we used to have elections for the attic, where we would run for the president of the attic, vice president, secretary, and we would put on plays and we had a post office, Ichveith, I don't remember. But here's what I wanted to share with you, is that at 7, 8 years old, we were writing, speeches of why we were the appropriate candidate, and our parents would then decide who would be based on our presentation. So if you start somebody at 7, 8 years old writing speeches, so then at, 40-something years later, Baruch Hashem, so then speech writing becomes secondhand. So is that something to think about? End of parentheses. However, now let's get back to the show here. 23. Bikush hakavod hachitzoni v'adai ein lecha mida pekuta mimenu. Says Rav Goldwitz something very deep. He says, why is searching for external honor so bad? He says it's because people so often want to have that as a replacement for that lack where they don't have that inner feeling of who they are. And he says this clearly, Matzah Adam, the Dad in 22, and Mekomo Elecham Husham Himenu. When you find your place, there's no one happier Himenu from that person. And if you can't find what makes you you, so you go from one high and one thrill to another, hoping that that feeling is going to fill that tremendous void that's going to be found within you. Why do people run after honor? Because they are empty. There's nothing inside of them. They're broken. And because of that, they're trying to fill it with illusory things. That's not going to help them. I was just talking to a student just yesterday. It's going to be head of 11th graders, and we were talking about what are her summer responsibilities aside from programming, and I said a lot of it is dealing with the social dynamics, the kid who gets left out, and I said you also have to deal with the queen bee of the group, who generally, even though she seems to be the head honcho, is probably also very, very much in pain and needs all of this outer attention to fill something much deeper. And don't be fooled by the outer appearances of what's really emotionally going on within her. And this is a beautiful idea that Rav Goldwitz says in the circle asterisks, V'kar kavu bale amusar halacha, adam hamitam lemi pgamav, zo devar chavor kishlatzma. If a person ignores, bale musar say, if a person ignores their shortcomings, that's very bad. because you can't fix yourself. Aval im hu mitalei mimalotav, but if you ignore your positive parts of you, chamur davar shivatayim, it's even doubly worse. Why? Mishum shegam lekeshir tirtel letakein yechaser takelim haruyim, because then when you want to fix, you have no wherewithal to fix these things. It's important to know who you are and to be able to build on that. Rav Wolbe says so beautifully in 25 in the Arrow, when a person gives kavod to all those around him, it's individual, and I love this line, that his neshama is alive and working properly. When you have that sense of inner honor and you know that you're here for a purpose, so then you're alive. And then you're not threatened by other people. And you'll be able to give other people their honor as well. Because in no way does their honor take away from your honor. Because you know what your strengths are, and you know that you have your strength and your weaknesses, and that person has their strength and their weaknesses. So that when you're able to really honor others, it's an indication that your neshama is alive and working properly. What a gewaltig line. Conversely, one who walks around looking to belittle, deride, and find people's shortcoming has made it clear that his neshama is malfunctioning. Additionally, has demonstrated that he himself is not honorable, for the Mishnah states, who is honored, he who honors the creations. And the opportunities to give kavod are numerous. Our halachos of derech eretz, kavod abrios, we'll talk about some of them. Our avoda is to look for and then acknowledge and reveal the positive traits of everyone we encounter. One who makes it his business to do so will find himself in a world that contains no loneliness or pettiness. For even in the smallest secretion, he'll uncover only positive qualities, as we say in Tilum Kavtet, and in his sanctuary, all proclaim kavod. Rabosai, now I can appreciate what does it mean, v'ahavtarecha kamocha. It starts with kamocha. It starts with yourself. It starts with what kavod is really about. It starts with what honor is really about. Your uniqueness, what makes you special. When I'm able to see that within me, then kamocha, likewise, I'm able to see in others what makes them unique, what makes them special, and I'm able to honor them and give to them without feeling senses of jealousy or belittlement in any way at all. And this is what Meirosh Sharim points out. Rav Reis, 28. It's about shifting your mindset. Instead of just being about you and your needs, it's about Hashem and His Torah. When we're told to love somebody else, it's not because I love them for what they do for me. I love them for the way they dress. I love them. It's not about that. Why do I love them? Because they are created in the image of God. That's why. This is across the board. Jew, non-Jew, every person created in the image of God. Jews have a higher level, a different level, a more exalted level. But every person created in the image of God, I am responsible to treat them with honor. And that's what allows me to connect with everybody. It's the ability to recognize that it's not about, well, you know what, you dress funny. I don't want much to do with you. And your intellectual acuity is really low. I can't have a conversation with you like you want me to, you know, honor you and love you. It's not about your intellectual acuity. It's not about you dress. It's about you creating the image of God. And if you're creating the image of God, it means you have a purpose in this world. And if you have a purpose in this world, I'm honoring that purpose. And indeed, the Moshe brings down in 27 from the Reshit Chochma that one of the questions that's asked a person after 120 years is, were you involved in Torah Gemilus Chasodim? Did you make God king over you by davening Shacharis and Marif? Did you make your friend king over you in an appeasing, beautiful way? And he notes here, the Olam Moshe, that Himlacht El Chavercha is very much linked with Himlacht El Konecha. Making your friend king over you is interconnected with making God king over you. Because it's really when I recognize that God is king over me, that I recognize the end of the pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokechem, I recognize that I need to treat everyone in that way. The Shlach Kodesh in 29 brings, Rav Reis brings down, Ki avat re'echa mishtalev im avas ha-kodesh baruch hu. Loving another is interconnected with loving Hashem. Ki godel chiyuv avat ha-reya hu lechvod avat Hashem yisbaruch. The love, the honor I have for Hashem is where the love of others comes from. And that's the Hainu Shishkor Shuasui B'Tzel Medimir Yon Al Yon, that every person is created in the image of God. Okay, so if I understand, my friend, so far so good. I understand that this is a major principle of Torah because it's about give and take. That's why Hashem created the world. It's about, first and foremost, recognizing who I am and the uniqueness that Hashem created in me. Then I'm able to see the uniqueness and specialness that Hashem created in others. And that's then going to, just to connect the dots, that's then going to enable me to show the respect and love to others because I have what to give. And others have what to give, and I'm ready to receive, and I'm ready to give, and that's where all the interactions come from. Now let's try to bring this down to a little bit more of a practical level, how it applies in our lives. How do we love one another? So Ksava Kabbalah, Source 30, offers a list of realistic examples of how one can fulfill this commandment in ways that are possible. Your affection for others should be real, not feigned. Always treat others with respect. Always seek the best for them. Join in their pain. Greet them with friendliness. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Assist them physically, even in matters that are not very difficult. Be ready to assist with smaller, moderate loans and gifts. Do not consider yourself better than them. Let's begin with do not consider yourself better than them. I think that's going to give us a window into our mindset of how do we work on this idea of kavod, which is then going to lead to love. Why is it so difficult to love another person? Why is it so difficult to give honor to another person? One of the major reasons is because we stand in the way. Our ego is so great. A, we're afraid of being hurt. We're very fragile. And our ego is so great in terms of we're God's gift to the world. How can anyone come close to me? There's a very beautiful idea. It's a very famous word. The Otzer HaSatara Rav Cohn brings down. Where Shlomo HaMelech says, Kamayim panim lepanim kein lev ha'adam la'adam. Like the water reflects the person's face, so too a person's heart reflects another person's heart. Which means if you want to come to love another person, how do you engender love? You think of feelings of love for one, and then they'll respond with feelings of love back to you. I always tell this to my kids, positivity breeds positivity. You want to change a whole mindset? Be positive. Be upbeat. When you think positive thoughts, you will see that this person who may not like you so much or may not have positive feelings will respond with positivity because there's a mirror image going on here. So one of the ways to be able to try to induce this feelings of positivity, of love, is just first and foremost to think positive thoughts about the person. See the goodness in the person. In order to be able to do this, you have to be able to know how to shrink self to make room for the other. And that's why the Otzer HaSatara brings a beautiful word. He says, if Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all people, wanted to give me the model of the mirror image, so why didn't he use the example of a mirror? Why is he telling me that when you look in the water, then you see your image? That's how it reflects one person for another. And he says, in the asterisk, V'neem istakel b'mareh, yachol lamon, source 31, b'kumas kufa v'lerot etzatzma. If you look in a mirror, you can be standing up straight. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Omnam haro'et etzmo b'mayim. But when you look at yourself in the water, eino yachol lor elim kein, mashbil kumato mitkofef l'mul hamayim. You can only do this if you bend down. V'az yuchal lerot panav. Then you can see your friend. Then you can see your face. And that is the way we can break the sense of ego and make room for another. How? Rak hashir yashpil kol achad dato luzulato. When I'm ready to hear another person's opinion. When you're standing up straight and saying, I know what my opinion is right and I'm not listening to anybody else, you're not going to engender any feelings of warmth or feelings of friendliness. But if you're able to say, you know what, let me hear what you have to say, and you're ready to bend down, and you're ready to look at the other person, where they're coming from, and what they've gone through, and that's why their opinion is the way it is. When you're able to bend down, then you're able to create these feelings of relationships and closeness. And it's not by accident, it's a medrash on the pasuk, the squiggly in 31 said, V'ahavta recha kamocha hashpel recha, lower yourself. And the Divrei Eliyahu explains that the letters near the word reacha, by the resh is the shin, by the ayin is the next letter's pay, by the chaf the next letter is the lamed, is how are you able to love your friend? Move beyond yourself, after the reacha, after the words, and see, shafel, see how you lower yourself, see how you make room for others. And when you are able to make room for others, then you're able to see a larger picture. And then you come, A, to feelings of love, feelings of understanding, and B, you are also helping, seeing how you can give to others. If it's all about you, you don't see the needs of others. You know, it reminds me of a situation that my daughter had this week. I feel like we're, you know, in the olden days, where none of her friends have, most of them don't even, they all have kosher phones, if they even have phones. A lot of them just have one family cell phone. They don't have their individual phones. So forget smartphones, and forget texting, and forget WhatsApps, and forget all of that. So perhaps you remember those old-time lists, the snow lists of the phone chain. So that's what they did. That's what they do. So girl calls her up this week and says, the teacher wants X, Y, and Z book brought tomorrow to class. It was a small class, like 15, 17 girls. So my daughter, knowing that this girl who was called by the teacher, is like one of those teacher pets, one of those brainy childs, but not necessarily socially connected. So my daughter said, you know what, I'll call the other girls. Oh, great. So my daughter, when she finished the call, said there were two types of girls. She said some, overall, was very nice, for sure. Some girls said, thank you very much, good night. Another girl said, oh, would you like me to call somebody else for you? And my daughter said, that shows you such a difference in terms of the mindset. You know, if you're calling me, it means that you may have a lot of phone calls to make. Can I help you out? That's what it's about, being able to lower yourself, not in a negative way, making room to be able to see the needs of another person. That is how you're going to be able to zeklal gadol b'Torah, to be able to give and to take. We know, in general, the way that we can create feelings of love toward others. This is Rav Rice. Omnama Torah. Let's begin with 32. Right? How do you don't press a button? How do you love somebody? If you want to connect with loving another, be involved and give and take for his goodness. Which means that you do good things for this person. And indeed, in Source 35, the Chazon Ish brings down in one of his Igaris, one of his letters, that Lemisha Chaser Regash Hitzafu Bitsar Hazulat, Haishtadlut Litivovla, Hatzilo Mitsar, Vamase Poela Lalev. Vechenish Palot Saratzoto. If you find that you're a little bit, you know, callous with others, so be involved in trying to help others. And the very least you can do is daven for others. And the more that we're involved in trying to help other people, and he says, and trying to make people happy. It's not, again, you know, we so much focus on someone sad, you come over, you... It's about, you know, when they're happy, be involved in their happiness. And they're sad, try to cheer them up. The more that we can be able to give emotionally to somebody, the more that's going to engender these emotional feelings with us. Continuing back at 32, this is very much based on the Sefer Chinuch. Even if you don't feel any feelings of love to a person, when you give to a person, when you're involved in the needs of a person, so far va'alavo, love will come. Hanisiya v'netina b'tovan hazulat tafil erikshot halev. Is it a button? No. It's not automatic, but it's a process, and you have to start the process. So, you know, we normally think, this is Rav Dessler, that we give to those we love. The truth is, we love to those who we give to. And the more you give to somebody, the more you're going to love that person. And if you don't love somebody yet, it's because you haven't given to them yet. And the more you give and the more you're invested in them, so then part of you becomes within them. And obviously you love yourself and you love that part, and that also helps to increase the love. Having said all of this, the world is about give and take. That's what Chesed Rachem is about. Kamocha, see one's uniqueness, see that we're here for a purpose, and you're here for a purpose, and all of us are here for a purpose, and I'm loving the spirituality in the person, the uniqueness in a person, and I recognize that it's about making space and room for another person. It's about giving and taking for another person. It's about the more I do, the more I'll be able to feel this love. I'd like to focus in on one nekuda, one something very small and practical that we can work on, that we don't normally look at as a major element of Ahavta Recha Kamocha, but I think that if we could be able just something small and steady wins the race, something we can work on something small during this time of Sefirot HaOmer, the time Rabbi Akiva's students died, Shelo Nagu Kavod Tzolosam, whatever level they were on, they were missing some aspect of this. I think this is a beautiful thing for us to work on. And that is, my friends, Source 36. Rabbi Masya Ben Cheresh said, take the initiative in greeting any man you meet. Have a makdim shalom b'fnei kol adam. And we know Rabbi Bunim in Ethics from Sinai, there is many a person whose petty conceit will not permit him to recognize anyone unless he's recognized first, just going back to the humility, the shval ruach. The other person must make the first move. This is his way of establishing and maintaining his dignity. He believes others will hesitate from a sense of insecurity, be the first to extend a warm greeting to those they meet. They're afraid to give a token of friendship and receive only an icy stare in return. They will therefore insist on waiting until the other person they meet takes the emotional risk while they play it safe. Whatever the reason, such behavior is wrong. Take the initiative, says our sages. Do not seek a conceit or importance. Do not seek a sense of conceit or importance or an illusion of security at the expense of another's feeling. Give a friendly greeting with a warm smile and inquire, if you will, after his welfare. I know a person, when they get that greeting of, do I know you? When a person says hello, they answer yes. And Maman Har Sinai, I believe all of us were standing shoulder to shoulder together. Like, you know, okay. Let's talk about this. There's a beautiful sefer called Mishpat HaShalom, which has been translated to English. And he speaks about 38. Shela Shalom is usually translated as greeting, but it actually means inquiring about someone's well-being. The Gemara usually refers to greeting someone with the word Shalom, which is one of the names of Hashem. As Rashi explains, Gideon called Hashem Shalom. That's when we use the term greeting in our context. We refer to this aspect as well, that by saying Shalom, we're giving the other person a blessing that Hashem shall help him. The power of a warm greeting of Shalom cannot be overestimated. So first and foremost, we can't have this, you know, conceit, oh, I'm not going to be the first one to, you know, to say hello. Let them say hello to me. No. Halimakim Shalom. And when you say Shalom, you're not just saying Shalom. You're really giving them a bracha that Hashem should help them, Hashem should be with them. Chazal 39 actually instituted a takana that people should greet their friends and inquire after the well-being using the word Shalom, one of the divine names of Hashem. Using the word Shalom to honor a fellow man is not considered disrespectful to Hashem's name. We can even use Shalom in greeting non-Jews. Seek peace and pursue it. In any case, we must be sure to respond to his greeting. Listen to this. If someone gives us Shalom and we do not respond in kind, we are considered gazlanim, robbers. In contrast, we bless our friend with a warm greeting. We are blessed from Shamayim. And that's why Shammai HaZaken, who's usually looked at as very strict and serious, he was the one who said that you should greet everybody with sever panim yafos, because this is the what it's all about. 40, mumbling the word Shalom with a grumpy face does not achieve the purpose of increasing love and goodwill among people. Chazal say we should greet everyone with a pleasant countenance. They add that showing a friend a white toothy smile does more for him than in fact offering him a nourishing drink of white milk. In fact, as we find in Avos Rabim Natan, if we give someone all the gifts of the world with a sour face, it's as if we give him nothing. But if we give him a warm smile, even if we're giving him nothing tangible, if we're giving him all the gifts in the world, People are blessed with a good sense of humor, of countless opportunities to cheer up other people. Now, we've spoken about this idea a number of times, 41 through 43, so I'll make mention of it more quickly here. Before we speaks about that when you give somebody a smile, when he calls it the idea of haras panim, what you're really doing is shining your face on this person. And the haras panim, he notes, is really the neshama, the soul of a person coming out. And that's why, like when a baby smiles, you can even get like, you know, most toughest security guards to smile. Why? Because when the baby's smiling, it's just pure neshama. There's no sin. The smile is coming from that deepest part of self. And Rav Wolbe says, and I can't emphasize this enough, in 43, Kol b'nei Adam mechakim ze lazem. Every single person is waiting one for another. Kol echad rotzeh shechavero ya'ir lo panim. We all want our friend to smile at us. The Talmid, the student, is waiting for this from their teacher, and the teacher is waiting this from the student. A parent from a child from a parent, a neighbor to a neighbor, a friend to a friend. What does this mean? Says Rav Wolbe, this is the basis of what life is about. This is the oxygen that we need to breathe. We need people to recognize us. And that's why it's really neshama to neshama. It's that soul in me smiling at you saying, you're worthwhile. You have a special purpose in this world. You're existentially meaningful. There's meaning to you existentially in this world. That's what a hello is. That's what we have to understand. When they say, because that is what it's all about. You know, think about it. How many times do you smile at your children? I'm not talking about when they say something funny or cute or do something. I'm talking about waking up them up in the morning. Yes, waking them up in the morning. Oh, no, good morning. Right, they may throw something at you. I understand that. It's important. Smiling. When they get home from school, smile. The smile without even saying anything. It's giving them the greatest gift. It's saying, I care about you. I love you. I want to connect with you. Continuing on the next page. 45. The effects of Sheila Shalom can be compared to a garment. Two pieces of material are useless unless they're sewn together as a garment. A greeting is like the thread that sews people together. What a beautiful imagery. To build warm, productive relationships. Generally, v'haftarecha kamocha, and all the mitzvot associated with it thrive and progress much more smoothly between people who greet each other. This is what it's about, my friends. To understand that, you know, oh, it's important to make food for people and to do all these mitzvot. Of course it is. But when you do it with a smile. When you do it, begin off with a greeting, right? Yes. How are you? I care about you. Sheila Shalom, if we have to work on one thing during the Sfira, it's saying hello and good morning to people. Now I want to share with you, for me it was a chiddush. Some people may know this, and they say, oh, come on, this is well known. For me, I'm sharing with you something that really excited me, and I've shared it with countless people. This is from Rav Fuchs's Sefer, Halichos Ben Odom L'Chaveiro, 46. He brings down the idea of Sheila Shalom, and he brings down his footnote in 46, Vayishalu Ish L'Rehu L'Shalom, by Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisro. They each greet each other L'Shalom, that is where, again, the idea of using Hashem's name is found, Shalom Aleichem. And you should know that this is one of the things that a person should really work on in their avodas Hashem, to really be makdim shalom, to go out and greet a person who, again, with Shem Hashem, shalom, shalom aleichem, shalom uvracha, right? I try to answer the phone, shalom, not hello, right? Because when you answer shalom, you're giving them a bracha right off the bat. And as we saw, Amir Shalom Tiyeb Panim Iros Belev Sameach. Good, we know all of this. 48. Here's the chiddush. Listen closely, and for this, it's worth it. Hameshiv al Birkas Chaveru. Okay, so I know I should say Shalom Aleichem, Mimakdim Shalom. You should initiate the greeting. Great. Let's say someone beats me to it. Let's say someone says to me, "Good morning," or "Shalom Aleichem," whatever they say to me. Hameishi val birkas chaveiro. When you respond, 48 asterisk, Yosef tosefet lebracha banisparech. You should add to the bracha they gave you. Kigon shalom uvracha. They say shalom. You say shalom and with blessing. Shalom uvracha. Oh, they say boker tov. Boker tov b'vora. Good morning. It should be blessed morning. And he brings down in the footnote, which is a squiggly in 48. This is based on the Medrash of Chavercha Kadmach Badashim. Your friend gives you lentils. Atatik Admenu B'Tumot. You give him back fattened calves. And Kishashoel Omer Boker Tov Yanelo Meshiv Shana Tova. In Yiddish, and this is brought down in 49 in Ethics from Sinai, that when people would say good morning, people would answer good morning, good you are, right? And Rabbi Bunim notes this: by investing a blessing for one morning, you receive a blessing for an entire year. Who could wish for a more handsome return? And he notes here that in Israel, very often people say Boker Tov, and they answer Boker Or, right? Good morning, good light. He says that's one of the same things. Ein Bezot Shum Tosefet. You're not adding anything. So here, and this, my friends, is what I want us to walk away with, to work on. When I say hello to a person, it's not just that a greeting. That's where we fall short. Saying hello to a person is a bracha. It's recognizing the person and investing in them. Try to bring down a bracha bringing down from the source, a brecha, a pool. That you should be a blessed person. You should have a blessed day. When I say hello to somebody, it's a tov ayin hu yivarach. I have a good eye. I want this person to have a good day. This is what v'ahavta recha kamocha is about. You want yourself to have a good day. You want another person to have a good day. You have your avodas Hashem. They have theirs. So a good morning is not just, a nicety. A good morning is a bracha. Good morning is you should have a good morning. I answer amen. And you should have a blessed day. You add a what? A bracha to it. It was so interesting. I had this chus of going to Kavarucha Sunday night with my girls. And rolled down the window when you get to the guard. And I said to her, Erev Tov. And she answered me, Shavua Tov. And I turned to my daughters. I say, wow, even the guards at Kavarucha, this girl, knows this halacha. I wish her a good night. She wished me a good week. Gavals. Mikam Chai Yisrael. This is what it's all about. A bracha. So on a very practical level, and it's rare for me to be practical, but here, exceptions. This is what to work on, to try to be makdim shalom with Hashem's name, shalom aleichem, shalom. And when a person says to you a bracha, answer back with even a greater bracha. Good morning, good you are, blessed morning. And we've seen this many times in source 50 through 52. That this idea of blessing somebody is not even in their presence. The Slobodka, Sabo Slobodka, when he would pass by the houses of other Rashi Yeshiva, even if no one was in the house, he would pass by the house and say good morning. And they asked him, hello? No one's there. He says, when I look at their house, I immediately think about them. And when I think about them, I want them to have a good day. So why shouldn't I bless their possessions? That everything about them, it's a way of remembering them, that they should have a blessed day. Do we go by people's houses and wish them a good day and think about them? Not even in their presence. This is the way to bridge that gap of ahavta recha kamocha. The more you give, the more you bless, and clearly 51 and 52, at a simcha, that the person who goes to the simcha, right, not just saying mazel tov, but mazel tov, you should have a lot of bracha and nachas and simcha. When you give a bracha, give it with your full heart, really mean it. And when you are the baal simcha, you have the ability to give over bracha, give it over in a beautiful way. You should have a lot of simcha, and you should be able to enjoy. That's our job, to just be giving one to another. The klal gadol v'torah, go beyond yourself. Think about others. Think about how I can make another person's day, how I can give to other people, and not just think about yourself. V'ahavta recha kamocha, shafel. Lower yourself. The water, the imagery of being able to lower yourself down and realize you're not the center of the world. God didn't create us as an individual. Lo tov hayod adam levado. The world is predicated on giving and taking, on searching, on trying to make other people happy. And the more I try to make others happy, the more that feeling of love is going to be created. I'd like to end with a story, albeit in this story it's siblings. However, the lesson of the story, I think, is powerful. Rabbi Spiro's latest and greatest book, always beautiful story of stories, tells the story of a Rav Mkovno over 100+ years ago, whose wife died, and he had a daughter, late teens, early 20s, who was very, very close to her mother. And the Rav Mkovno realizes he's going to get remarried, and it's going to be difficult for this girl, so he decides to send her to her sister, who's living in Eretz Yisrael, and, you know, let her get married and start a life and have, you know, close family nearby. So in those days, it's not like, you know, going to the airport and getting on a plane. It's taking a boat, and it's a long journey. So the night before her journey, he calls her over and gives her, you know, long personal wishes, of etc. And then he says to his daughter, he says, you know, I know you're very close to mother. I want you to have her most precious possession, her pearls. And these pearls will allow you throughout your life to know how close you are still to your mother. And it will give you that strength, that inner feeling of security. And I want you to have them. So, like, this was, you know, very special. And throughout the trip, she was able to hold on to those pearls as a feeling of connection, so to speak, to home. She lands Baruch Hashem, she gets to her sister's house, and obviously, you know, they didn't have texting either, where they communicated so freely. So they schmooze for a long time. And while they're schmoozing, you know, hours into it, the sister says, by the way, whatever happened to Ima's pearls? And this girl, without flinching, without blinking, and that's the godless of this story. I forgot. I can't believe I forgot. You know, Abba told me I should give them to you as a gift. Pulls them out of her purse and gives them to her sister. Because she knew it would be so meaningful to her sister. Now we would say, come on, the father gave it to her, and it's so meaningful to her. You're right, my friends, because we think about ourselves. But if kamocha is really kamocha, and that you're really able to feel for another person, then without flinching, you'll see that this is going to make them happy. And she never raised the pearls again. It's no accident that she was zocha to marry Rav Arye Levin, and was zocha to have a daughter who married Rav Al-Yoshev, and a granddaughter who was Rav Sankanyevsky. That's what it takes to be a gadol. But you know what, my friends? There's nothing stopping any one of us from reaching this type of level. And you know where it begins? Greeting each and every person that we see. We walk down the street, we smile, a shalom aleichem, a hello. We move beyond ourselves to see others. And it starts with a shela shalom. It starts with blessing a person that they should have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's help in their lives. And from there, we're able to develop that ability to give, to love, and to help, and to see the needs of others.